Today is the Feast of the Circumcision of our Lord, also New Year's Day. The epistle appointed for the Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to Titus, chapter 2. Dearly beloved, the grace of God our Savior hath appeared to all men, instructing us that denying ungodliness and worldly desires, we should live soberly and justly and godly in this world, looking for the blessed hope and coming of the glory of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and might cleanse to himself a people acceptable, a pursuer of good works. These things speak and exhort in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Gospel appointed for the Mass. Take from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2. At that time, after 8 days were accomplished, that the child should be circumcised, his name was called Jesus, which was called by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Dearly beloved, the grace of God our Savior hath appeared to all men, instructing us that denying ungodliness and worldly desires, we should live soberly and justly and godly in this world. Which is taken from today's epistle, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Saint John of God was born in Portugal in the year 1495. His parents were poor, but devout and charitable. The first years of John's life were spent as a shepherd in great innocence and purity. In 1522, he enlisted as a soldier and fought in the war against the French. Later on, he enlisted again to fight against the Turks in Hungary. In the military, he was surrounded by evil companions. The result was that he lost his fear of offending God, and he gradually gave up his practices of devotion. He neglected the rosary. His morals became lax. At the age of 40, he repented of his wayward life, and he resolved to change. He began a life of penance for his sins. He spent many hours in prayer. He wanted to make up for the past by serving God perfectly. But it was quite some time before he realized exactly what it was that God wanted him to do with his life. He devoted all his energies first to one work of charity, then to another. In Africa, there were many Catholics at the time who were enslaved by the Muslims. His compassion for these poor slaves caused him to go there to help them. He returned to Spain on the advice of his confessor. For a time, he sold religious pictures and books, hoping to inspire people to practice virtue. Later, he chopped and sold wood to help feed the poor. At last, when he was 45 years old, he found his true calling. He began to care for the sick who were poor. He opened a hospital for them. He fed, washed, and cared for them, practicing the highest degree of patience and kindness. He rejoiced to serve them, and he cared for each one as if that person were Christ himself. He was very much aware of the words of our Lord. As long as you did it to one of these, my least brethren, you did it to me, our Lord said. St. John would walk the streets of Granada to carry the sick and dying to his hospital. A band of fervent disciples joined him, and the Order of the Brothers of Charity was formed. St. John did this work for a brief 10 years. He died March 8th, the year 1550. But even his death was caused by a glorious act of charity. He died from an illness he contracted when he jumped into a river to rescue a drowning child. He is patron of nurses and the sick. His feast is March 8th. Now, before St. John began his greatest work, an extraordinary thing happened to him. He was traveling one day, walking along a dusty mountain trail. He stopped to rest, and he fell asleep under a tree. When he awoke, a small boy stood before him. He was the most charming and graceful child that John had ever seen. The boy seemed to be a prince, and feeling an instinctive reverence, John fell to his knees. The boy came up to John, and he trustfully took his hand. The child's white shirt was all torn as if by thorns. John asked him many questions, but the child's answers were vague. The saint learned only that the boy was not lost and that his mother knew where he was. Then John noticed that the boy's little feet were bruised and bleeding. He gently examined them with the greatest concern. He found a deep wound on each foot. And without quite understanding why, John reverently kissed the wounds in the same way as he often kissed the wounds on his crucifix. The child was pleased by this attention and concern. John then volunteered to carry him as far as he wished to go. He couldn't determine where he had come from or where his family was. So he decided to carry him wherever he wanted to go, hoping to return him home. John was a giant of a man, and he set off with great energy. But the boy seemed mysteriously to grow heavier and heavier. At last, this powerful man could carry him no longer. In astonishment, he was forced to set the boy down and rest. And then it was that the child shone with a brilliant light. And he said to the saint, "John of God, Granada will be your cross." He then disappeared. Only then did John realize that his little companion had been the Christ child himself. The name John of God was thus given him by Christ. Christ also gave him his greatest work, that of caring for the sick who were poor. Now today, my dear faithful, we celebrate the circumcision of our Lord. According to God's law in the Old Testament, every male child was to be circumcised and given a name 8 days after he was born. And today, 8 days after the birth of Christ, the first drops of his blood were shed, and he received the name Jesus. It's as if the infant Jesus could not wait, as it were, to show his love and to begin suffering for us. Our sanctification and salvation is the consuming desire of his life. St. Paul says that our Savior gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and might cleanse to himself a people acceptable, a pursuer of good works. He gave himself for us entirely and without reserve. He embraced suffering for us. Our sins were the cause of his sufferings. Even as a child, they grieve and torment him. But so great is his love for us and his desire to save us that he could not wait, as it were, to shed his blood for us. We see this same tender love in the story of St. John of God. The child Jesus showed a loving concern for the saint, even as he has a loving concern for each and every one of us. But he was especially pleased by this saint, who is making a sincere and generous effort to please God. He was especially pleased with St. John's repentance. He was also pleased by his charitable deeds, his efforts to do good. This should inspire us to have a similar repentance and a tender love for the infant Jesus. Today, my dear friends, we begin a new year. It's a time when people often make resolutions to eat healthy, to lose weight, to exercise, maybe plan a special vacation. They set financial goals for the new year, to be more successful, to save up for this or that. And there's nothing wrong with these worldly goals. But for us, the new year means more. It tells us that we have taken another long stride towards eternity. It impresses us with a solemn fact that time passes so quickly. Last year was hardly yesterday, and before we know it, we will be writing 2017. Nothing on this earth is lasting. People put stock in wealth, health, entertainment, and pleasure. They make these things their priorities. They seek them with great zeal. But these things are so easily lost. And even if they are not lost, they must be left behind at death. Life is short, very short. Each of us is drawing near to death. The time will come for each of us, some sooner, some later. And when it comes, we will leave everything upon this earth. St. Paul thus urges us to use well the time that God now gives us. Live soberly and justly and godly in this world, he says. God has given us a brand new year, an opportunity to make a brand new effort. And since the worldly things pass, let us seek those things which will not pass. Lay up treasures in heaven. Resolve to do good, for it can truly be said that you create your own destiny. In the moment of death, at that moment, you will stand before a just and holy God. And in your hands will be all the deeds of your life, both good and evil. You will give an account for every single one, for how you used every hour. Will your hands be filled with blessings and graces and sacrifices? Or, God forbid, will they be filled with blood and selfishness and corruption? The choice is yours. If until now you have not served God so well, then imitate St. John of God. Imitate his repentance and his true conversion. Fill your hands, begin now by filling them with good deeds. But do not wait. God gives today. He does not promise tomorrow. Do not imagine that a single day is not important. Every single day, every hour that God gives us is of supreme importance. What we do today, this hour, will increase or diminish either our eternal happiness or our eternal torments. Do not wait. Make good use of today, of every day. Seize the hour, as they say. Pray to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Pray her daily rosary. Ask her to help you to keep the commandments, to love God and your neighbor as you should. Ask her to help you today in making a good resolution. For example, to set aside a certain time each day to say the rosary. To be more kind and forgiving at work, but especially at home. To be more patient, to accept from the loving hand of God every suffering or cross that he sends you. He is a loving Father. He does not send us crosses and trials because he hates us, but because he loves us, and because crosses and trials sanctify and purify and make us good. Or we may make the resolution to be more faithful to the duties of your state in life, making good use of your time each and every hour. Make the resolution to generously accept the inconvenience and discomfort that comes to you as a result of your daily duties. These are the means that God gives, these crosses and trials. These are the means that he gives us to store up treasures in heaven and to fill our hands with good deeds. There is great merit in carrying the cross humbly, patiently, and lovingly. If you ask for God's guidance, then he will teach you to be humble, patient, and kind in many little ways. Those who seek God find him everywhere, especially in the midst of their daily work. When a person is docile to God's inspirations, he gives these inspirations continually, these actual graces. He shows people how to love him in all that they do. Pray then to the Holy Ghost for his guidance. Ask him for the grace to examine your conscience. Ask him if there are any changes that he would like you to make. Is there anything that bothers your conscience? Ask for the courage to make a good resolution, to overcome some fault, or to practice some virtue. Consider the shortness of life and resolve to live this month as if you were to die next month. In this way, you will serve God by many little acts of virtue. And when God calls you from this life, from this world, your hands will not be empty, and you will not be filled with remorse and bitterness for making poor use of the time that God gave you. Your good deeds will merit a reward. And having lived soberly and justly and godly in this world, your every sorrow will be turned into joy. May God bless you, give you a blessed and a holy new year. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.